Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Welcome to Christian Worldview this morning, this wonderful 21st day of May 2005. We're in the upstate of South Carolina. We have about 60 degrees, depending on where you are, give or take a point. Going to be up to 75 today, or the mid-70s at any rate, and a lot of thunderstorms, some of them strong thunderstorms today, so be aware of that as you make your way out to work. I'd be glad you're not in El Salvador, where they've got hurricanes coming ashore this morning. At least it's always better, no matter how bad the weather is, it seems like it's always worse somewhere else, unless you happen to be in the middle of a tsunami. If does tsunami count as weather? You know, they always report on the weather page, you know, earthquakes and volcanoes. I always wonder if those really count as weather or not. What do you think, Richie?
Volcanoes, weather?
Yeah.
If you're near the volcano, yes, it is.
Okay. Yeah, it's hard to weather the storm when you're near the volcano or the tsunami or the earthquake. Well, anyway, as you can tell in the studio, I have with me today Rippin' Richie Williams once again. Glad he's back here to be able to join us and make this show great this morning. Just a reminder to you, our backup line is the only one that's working this week and probably will be the only one working next week as well. 201-695-6955 in the 864 area code. That's 201-6955. So what's on tap for today, Richie?
I was looking at a couple stories. One is what could be worse than flushing a Quran? And I found a story about a Canadian who was fined for hate speech. And the First Lady is going across the ocean to say nice things about false religions.
Okay, and we've got a couple of emails from listeners. Actually, rather long emails, but I think they're worth doing. One of the emails is swearing oaths on government forms. This came from Paul. And we got another email, it seems to me, about strategy for third-party candidates and why we're no doubt going to fail. This is from a guy named Michael. Then we have a story, it looks like, about the Armenian genocide plaguing Ankara 90 years on. So it should be an interesting show today. It usually is an interesting show to listen to. It's a little bit of a knockout because you get hit with so many things many of you have not thought about. But that's the idea. We're here to bring some new perspective to things to help you think better here on Christian Worldview. The last few days we've been talking about states and the nature of states. Big deep question number two for Dr. Coben's radio show, and want to remind you quickly about the tyrannyresponse.com website. Can you tell us about that, Rich? Since you're the one who programmed it, you must know more about it than anyone else.
I have the inside scoop on tyrannyresponse.com. Yes, Dr. John, that is true. We've got the events section. We've got the picture section. We've got the link and related media section. We have the audio section. And last but not least, we have the section I cannot remember, but I'm sure it's good.
Products, maybe, or something like
product
that?
Section, yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
We got it going on there at tyrannyresponse.com. If you hear about some kind of event, some kind of shindig, do you say shindig ever?
I don't.
Some people down south
say
shindig.
Yeah, because I'm widely read, I've seen that term places before.
You hear about something going on the Tyranny Response Network, you go to tyrannyresponse.com and get the details, find out exactly where it's at if you can't remember what you heard on the radio. It's a place to go. Tyrannyresponse.com.
Yeah, we have some important events coming up, too. We want to let you know about them. And in fact, are we able just to go right here in the studio onto tyrannyresponse.com? I think we are.
You are.
You mean you didn't get your password set up and all that stuff?
I didn't set up my password to get into the wireless internet thing.
I'll tell you, some people are just slackers. They show up one day a week and they figure they don't have to do anything anymore. Let me see here. Tyranny Response. If we go to I'll tell you what. While I'm typing this in, why don't you go ahead and do the first story there, Rich, and I'll see if I can find this, and then we'll do some announcements.
Where to start? You know, this is interesting. This Canadian was fined for hate speech. This is from a Saskatchewan man. He'd been ordered to pay $17,500 to four people after distributing flyers found to expose homosexuals to hatred and ridicule.
Oh, really?
In Canada, they're more screwed up than we are. The decision was handed down May 2nd by the Saskatchewan Human Rights Tribunal. Between September 2001 and April 2002, William Watcott distributed flyers in mailboxes that referred to homosexuals as sodomites that were sharing, quote, their filth and propaganda with Saskatchewan's children. I wonder if he was right about that.
It sure sounds like he was right. What else could it
be? Doesn't matter if he was right. He's in trouble.
What is a human rights tribunal? I mean, this doesn't sound like anything like our Article 3 courts here. Of course, Canada's always been enslaved. They never departed from the king. They were good Tories all along. So what is this whole business about? Was it? It's called a human rights court?
Sounds pretty Orwellian to me.
It sure does.
The ruling requires Watcott to pay complainants. These complainants, one of them gets $2,500, one gets $5,000. And another one gets, three of them get $5,000. It's not known why the one guy got less than the other guys. Maybe he's bisexual. I don't know, because he got half as much. This guy is also, the good guy, is forbidden from distributing the flyers or any similar material that promotes hatred against individuals because of their sexual orientation. Well, you know, I think this ruling could promote hatred against Bible-believing Christians. So maybe this judge needed to be fined and charged for that.
I think it's okay to hate Bible-believing Christians in Canada as it is in the United States. You just can't hate other people.
Yeah, well, I think we need to push that point. Now, the Watcott, the good guy, said he would appeal the decision, calling it sick and draconian.
That means cruel, by the way.
He said, quote, I believe homosexuality is a sin. To give me a $17,500 fine and say I can't say that is quite frankly garbage and is not something I'm going to abide by. If I have to sit in jail for the rest of my life, I'm not going to be quiet.
He may have to do that. I mean, when persecution starts, it's going to start at this level. It wouldn't be surprising to me if they actually put the guy in jail for having principles.
Well, hopefully that would make a big statement and maybe people would wake up to this stuff. One of the queers testified during the proceedings that he felt the use of the word sodomite was similar to a racial slur. Hasn't that been an accepted term for a long time?
It was, although you know they tried to get rid of the word, but for hundreds of years, thousands of years, sodomite's been the word that's been used to describe these guys.
Well, for them to complain about the word sodomite, I think they're being discriminatory and showing hatred for the original inhabitants of Sodom. If they're saying they don't want to be associated with them, who are they to judge the original inhabitants of Sodom?
Yes, very good point.
Let's see. Now, Wallace said the ruling made a strong statement. This is one of the gay guys. Quote, it accomplishes what I wanted. Well, I shouldn't say gay. I should say homosexual. He's probably not happy. He's probably miserable.
Sodomite.
Quote, it accomplishes, well, be careful now, what I wanted, which is to make some kind of a public statement about the fact that in Canada, we are really a diverse population with lots of different beliefs and lots of different kinds of lifestyles and backgrounds. And I might add, all of which are acceptable except the Christians with Bible-believing backgrounds and lifestyles. He continues to say, there are rules in our society and how we respect each other's rights. And make sure everybody has the right to their own lives and their own beliefs. I should have been...
Who was that jumped in at the microphone there? Well, the truth of the matter is, at Christian Worldview, we do pray for our enemies, and we do love homosexuals in the sense that we want to see you be saved. You're listening to the show, and you struggle with homosexuality, and you are a homosexual. Our desire is not to crucify you, but that you might come to the Savior, Jesus Christ, and be saved. That is our hope for you, but... When it comes to public policy, we do not believe you as a sodomite or a homosexual or any other person with any other sinful problem should deserve special protection or special rights from the state. And that's what we're talking about today in Canada. Apparently, you can be a sodomite and get special privileges and rights. You can be protected from someone else talking or saying things about you that you don't like, including just using standard legal definitions like the word sodomite to describe your particular behavior patterns. This is a sad thing. This is typical of states, in my view. States bring us a lot of behavior-changing, proactive policy. That's the nature of states, and they have done so from the beginning of time and have been particularly evil lately as a result of the rise of secular humanism, Darwinism, and all sorts of other preposterous nonsense through the academy.
Now, for those of you that are new to the show, the state is not always the same as government. I guess you would say a state is a government that oversteps its bounds and starts getting into some kind of social manipulation.
Yeah, well, I have an article online, and it's really not original to me. It's Albert J. Nock wrote a book called Our Enemy, the State, in the mid-30s, 1930s. And he basically says that a government is something that the original founding fathers, the founding fathers envisioned, where you have protection from predators being applied and promulgated by state or by the government by a collective action. A state is a government gone amok, where it no longer just wants to protect you from those who want to harm you, but instead wants to change your behavior, redistribute wealth, take over private enterprise and run them as public enterprises, benefit businesses, promote science, all sorts of other things. When I say benefit business, I mean at the expense of other businesses, you know, hand out political favors and benefits that by tariffs or other protectionist laws, by monopoly licenses, medallions, so forth, to one particular firm or group of firms at the expense of other people. This is what states do, what they've always done, and this is what is completely evil. There is a difference between government and state, according to Nock, and I agree with that.
I think it comes about when the government decides that freedom is not enough, and they want to create some kind of utopia, so they try to control everything, and it never ends up in a utopia, and it usually ends up quite the opposite.
Well, the parasite always is looking for more to chew on. I mean, and if you give him a little bit, you stick him on your arm, and he starts eating away and gnawing just a little hole there to feast on. He really starts looking over the fence at the grass being greener on the other side and wants to gnaw off a little bit more and a little bit more. And pretty soon, the parasite is all but consuming the host. The host is on his last legs, literally about to die from the oppressive taxation and regulations that are thrust upon him. And the parasite wisely holds back from eating just a little bit more, lest he kill the host and die himself. And that's where we're at today. The parasite has found very many tricks to get into your lives, change your behaviors, regulate your families, regulate your schooling, and also take away your money. Various different ways that it does this. You know, I'm just looking at our producer and wondering about our break. It looks like we have to come to a break right now, but I don't think we do yet, do we? We have a couple of minutes because we're on a different break schedule today, aren't we? Than we usually.
It's up to you.
Yeah.
The bird is in your hands.
Well, I think we're going to be on a different break schedule because this is such a good conversation. We want to keep talking about this.
So we'll do 50-minute segments?
I think so. I think it's better. And especially because our producer wasn't on top of it, anyway, to tell me a wave or anything.
He knew what was going on.
He did the whole time?
Yeah.
All right.
He thought we'd do the 15 because we did that last week.
He's nodding, so he must be.
Did that last week.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the state is becomes intrusive. And think about this. Why is it that after 200 years, we still need lawmakers to, especially on the federal level, to continue to make more and more laws?
Hmm. They make legislation.
Every year.
It's part of my vocabulary change, and this is good for other Christians to adopt as well, is to get rid of using the word law when it comes to legislatures. Because legislatures, insofar as they enact the exact same things that were indicated by God in the Ten Commandments or by any other social custom, for that matter, they can call what they've done law, but for the most part, what they do is legislation. Legislatures do not create law. Law exists antecedent to the state. That means before a state even exists, there already is law. The Ten Commandments didn't start with Thomas Jefferson, or with the King of England, or with somebody like Caesar. The Ten Commandments were there preceding government or the state, and states have to either use that law or not. And by and large, they have not used that law. They've opposed it entirely, or they've given some kind of lip service to it like George W. Bush does and moved along. And then they go on and create their own legislation. Legislation is a creature of the state. The legislative body comes up with ideas based on some sort of political philosophy, some sort of pragmatism. These are often the things which drive it, or it could be a drive for secular humanism or a new world order. or globalism, or the need for one world government. There are a lot of different philosophies that drive public policy. One of the most famous, of course, is the idea of positive rights, that people don't just have negative rights. Negative rights were the ideals of Jefferson and others, that you had a right to your life, liberty, and property. You had a right against all other people. That's why they're called negative, that they would not be able to abuse your rights to life, liberty, or property. Whereas a positive right is a right that you have to a good education, you know, or a cheap medical care, or a minimum wage, or a livable wage, an air conditioner. In the state of Virginia, you have a right to air conditioning. These are positive rights, and state policies are frequently built upon ideals adopted by philosophers through positive rights theories.
Well, these positive rights have to be at the expense of someone else's negative rights. Is that not correct?
That's correct. That's what's different. Negative rights don't cost cost people anything other than the sadistic feelings and pleasure that some people might have for actually violating negative rights, like murderers and thieves. So, those people have to be kept at bay. But the positive rights, in order to have these sorts of benefits, you have to rape one class and plunder one class of people and group of people and give it to another.
So, if you say you have the right to health care, you're saying that you have the right, since health care costs money, you're saying you have the right to someone else's money.
Correct.
Which is ridiculous.
Yes. Although it's legal, and therefore it's okay, because we live in a representative state and a so-called democracy. I'm sure you heard all this claptrap before, where people say it's okay to rob somebody because we voted on it. And therefore, and then how many Christians say, well, we voted on it, we don't like it, but too bad, you know, we live in this country, we need to submit, and therefore it's okay to be robbed because government's okay, and because God ordained government, and therefore you go on from there. Well, you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben and our co-host today, Rippin' Richie Williams, and we're going to a break. We'll be back in just a minute.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Giving money and power to government is like giving whiskey and car keys to teenage boys. P.J. O'Rourke.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, P-R-O-S as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
I would rather be exposed to the inconveniences attending too much liberty than to those attending too small a degree of it. Thomas Jefferson.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And we welcome you back to the show. Trying to provide some of that roughage this morning. Just a note to those of you who are thinking of calling, and by all means, call and talk to us about these sodomite provisions in Canada or whatever else is on the show today. The phone number is the backup line today, 864-201-6955, 864-201-6955, rather than the number just announced to you. And we want to tell you about a few things that are going on today, or Monday, that are very important. One is the Institute on the Constitution. You're cordially invited to join friends and neighbors for a wonderful opportunity to learn about American history, the underlying biblical principles on which our government is based, and the history of the drafting and ratification of the Constitution of the United States. You can call Pastor Tony Romo at 864-269-1443 to register for the Institute for the Constitution. That occurs next Monday. I think it's the seventh class next Monday. I've been to three of them, and all have been excellent. Not that you're going to agree with everything you might hear, but it's going to make you think about the Constitution. The people that are presenting on the video are either the Divine Right or Theonomy Camp, and so those of you who, and there are many who are a liberty conscience perspective, are going to have some, a few misgivings perhaps here and there about some of the things you hear. But by and large, I'm telling you, you're going to love this stuff, and it's a great opportunity to talk about some key issues of the day. So call Pastor Tony Romo, 864-269-1443. Its location is at South Point Baptist Church, Monday at 6:30. Goes through 8:30. South Point Baptist Church is 203 Ina Marie Lane in Pelzer. Hope you can make it out.
Now, of course, if you forget any of that, you can go to tyrannyresponse.com and see it there as well. Now, are you tired of politicians who raise taxes, invade your privacy, and assume that you do not have the sense to make your own decisions? Well, try voting libertarian for a change. You like to meet other libertarians. You'll find they're regular people like you, concerned about the state of our republic and willing to act on that concern. Libertarians have a business meeting at 6:30 p.m. the second Thursday of the month at Prime Sirloin on Woodruff Road across from Greenville Mall. Visitors are welcome. And to talk politics, join the Libertarians for the meetup at 8 p.m. the fourth Wednesday of the month. It's at Cafe Underground just off Main Street downtown. And they would love to swap ideas with you for restoring limited constitutional government. Thank you for supporting the Libertarian Party and Christian Worldview on the Tyranny Response Network.
And in case some of you are wondering, well, you talk about the Libertarian Party a lot. Why not the Constitution Party? Well, it's frankly because the Constitution Party has not given us anything to read on the air, no blurb or anything else, and we'd be happy to read one from the Constitution Party. So if you're wondering about that, why not shoot off an email to your favorite Constitution Party leader today and say, look, get a 30-second blurb out to TRN so they can announce you on the Internet or on the radio, whatever it may be, or both. Please, you can do that. We also have to remind you about the Americans for Constitutional Government meeting. Yes, another month has passed by, and on Sims Library on Pelham Road, that's between Hudson Road and I-85 in Greenville, you'll have at 10 o'clock in the morning on Monday the Americans for Constitutional Government meeting. This is a great meeting full of all sorts of true conservatives, pro-life libertarians, and other fine people who are there, gather there to listen to the current events and local politics, as well as some things about national politics, and usually have a great speaker talking about some important theme that's related to liberty. So hope you can make it out Monday morning at 10 o'clock through noon to the Americans for Constitutional Government meeting, Sims Library on Pelham Road. Well, that's enough announcements for now, I think. I mean, people sometimes get bored with announcements, I think. And all this stuff's available on the webpage anyway. I mean, why do we even read it? All we have to tell them is go, look, there's a bunch of announcements you need to know about and read, so just go to tyrannyresponse.com. You think people would do that?
I think some people may go to the website. I think some people have.
Well, you get, do we get any, have there been any hits on this thing yet? I mean, we've only had it for 2 weeks.
Yeah, it did show up. There were some hits.
Wow. Okay, good. Well, people are starting to use tyrannyresponse.com. Of course, I sit in my office all day and go into that page, so my hits probably count somewhere in there. But I was glad to see policyofliberty.net. I have something like 16,000 visitors a month go to policyofliberty.net. That's encouraging. We looked at the statistics on that page, and your page is about the same, isn't it?
I'm up there in the same range, but, I mean, my page just teaches you how to do the moonwalk. I don't know how you're getting so many hits.
People, these crazy people that like ideas, apparently. I get lots of hate mail and some praise mail about things I write. Well, I get more praise mail than hate mail. But right. There are some people. I got a nasty note from a guy in New Zealand that thinks this country is very free, and he thought I really blew it in my little, story commentary about my visit there. But I get other comments about, oh, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen about Lodial Title or about covenant marriage, or thank you so much for taking a stand on this or that or other issue, and that the book about Chile was very useful. So people actually go there and read the stuff because they want to learn a few things. They're interested. They find me on a search engine. It's one thing about finding Dr. Coben and Policy of Liberty. It's pretty easy. You just go to Google, and how many hits do you get? About 200 or 300 hits for Policy of Liberty, just typing in either my name or some title like or something like a Lodial Title or Covenant Marriage.
No, I'm not sure. I don't remember what the count was.
Of course, there are a lot of people, TRN listeners and Christian Worldview listeners, who go to that website, policyofliberty.net, and we encourage that you do so, and we hope that you continue to do so. Well, what do you think about doing an email here? This is something I thought you might like to read, because it was something we talked about, left versus right, before. This is Mr. Michael writing in about, and this is actually a few days old now. We didn't have a chance to read it in recent days. He's writing about third parties. What does he have to say?
Okay, so this is a local guy, it looks like, here. It says, Dr. Coben, I heard a few minutes of your Tuesday program. You and another gentleman were discussing a strategy for getting a third party's candidate elected president. From what little I heard of the conversation, I got the impression that you think this is a possibility. It's not, and here's why. When George Wallace picked up 46 Electoral College votes in 1968, it scared the pants off the incumbent party. As a result, the two wings of the incumbent party, Republicans and Republicans, implemented a state-by-state strategy to change the elector selection laws. As you know, Article 2, Section 1 of the Constitution leaves it up to the legislatures of each state to determine how its electors are selected. The founders expected that the voters in each House district would choose one elector, and the statewide voters would choose two electors. This is how Wallace picked up 46 electors. It took several years, but the incumbent party managed to change the laws in all but two states, Maine and Nebraska. Electors in the other states are selected statewide. Whichever candidate wins a plurality of the popular vote in a state collects all the state's electoral college votes. There are 538 elector votes. In 2004, Bush won 286, Kerry won 252. For a third-party candidate to be elected president, he would have to carry the large states, including California, Texas, New York, and Florida. In my opinion, this is virtually impossible. It's a P.S. in 96. I was a presidential elector from Oklahoma's 1st Congressional District. Even though I was chosen by the Republican Party, I was ignorant enough to think that I would be able to cast my vote for Buchanan. When I arrived at the state capitol in December to vote in the Electoral College, the ballots had already been printed and two armed state troopers were standing by just in case. It is a crime in Oklahoma and in other states for an elector to vote contrary to the statewide vote.
Well, that's a very interesting comment. I don't know if you have some thoughts or comments about that. I think he's actually, you know, this is an example. Michael's an example of one of these deep-thinking Christians that, or somebody who's improving continually his thinking capacity and application. And as a listener of our show, Christian Worldview, so I appreciate you writing the comment, Michael. And I do have to say this, that I think technically you're very right. The way elections are rigged or set up, or however you want to think of it, today would make it virtually impossible to elect a third-party candidate. It's not just the way those things are set up, but also the way the media has decided that unless you have 15% in a popular vote, you can't participate in the popular debates. However, I think as a Christian, those things really don't matter. What matters for us is that we need to vote not according to pragmatism, but according to principle. So it really doesn't matter that a third-party candidate cannot win, although we would like to see that he could win at some point, because we believe that doing the right thing is more important than doing the expedient thing. In addition to that, we also want to look at different aspects philosophically of these different candidates that are available. We don't want to simply be voting for candidates based on just whatever fancy time tends to strike a Christian at any particular moment. The Hollywoodized candidate. We want to go for somebody who actually has some substance to him that possibly support the Christian worldview. So I appreciate those comments. I might have some other comments about them as well. Richie, what do you think about this?
Well, I think that we have a tendency to think if we haven't seen it in our lifetime, it can't happen. But there's been huge changes all throughout history. To think that we can't have a huge change in America is ridiculous.
Well, that's a great point. And then the other point I was going to add here is we as Christians believe also in the sovereignty of God, the providence of God. There's no way that any kind of electoral system set up by legislatures couldn't be overridden at any time by a sovereign God. If he wanted a certain candidate to be elected, he could be elected.
Well, that also has to do with, to a certain extent, your theology and what you believe about even eschatology and things like that would determine your view on this. I think people that think we're doomed and the Antichrist and the one-world government and all that stuff are going to think, yeah, it's hopeless, we can't do anything. But people that believe that that, you know, if the increase of his kingdom, there will be no end, people that believe that, which is what I believe, definitely believe at some point, maybe might not be in our lifetimes, but it's going to turn around eventually.
And it's definitely not going to be in our lifetimes if we continue to vote for George W. Bush pragmatically or whoever it is and don't stand by principle and become active in our faith and applying it to public policy. You're absolutely right. But it could happen in our lifetime. And it would Do you think the founding fathers of this country in 1750 or 1760 could have ever imagined that they, in just 20 years from then, would have won a war and gotten rid of the tyrant and King George III and set up a republic that was based on the principles of liberty? I don't think they could have even imagined it.
They were up against some pretty tough odds then.
Yeah, and even during the war, there was a lot of reason to believe they weren't going to win. So getting to the point where they declare independence was an astounding feat, and having those great minds come together through their committees of correspondence and so forth, passing around information, and then actually to pull it off, it was unfathomable. Just like today, we can't imagine how we could possibly win in 20 years, be living in a free republic. Nevertheless, it could indeed happen.
Well, now for one thing, as far as third parties go, when a lot of Republican voters go and start voting Libertarian, the Republican Party is going to adjust to pick up those voters again. So mm-hmm. it's going to pull the Republican Party towards more freedom and more liberty, or they won't win, and they'll do whatever it takes to win, even if it means doing the right thing.
Yeah, well, that's a possibility. Although, remember, this last campaign, when Michael Badnarik started picking up some votes, George W. Bush stepped in and said, well, I'm going to abolish the IRS. Well, I'm going to privatize Social Security and blah, blah, blah. Well, so far, none of that's been done, and the IRS issues hasn't even been hinted at. So I think sometimes politicians...
Yeah, I remember he did mention something about the IRS.
That's right.
I haven't heard it since then.
And it's just a lie. He does it to try to sway the voters. You have to look at a man's principles and his character before you vote for him. And that's why it's important. If he's going to tell you something and you can't trust him because he's really a liar, then it doesn't matter, you know, there's a Republican telling you these stories. You just still can't vote for him because it's just not going to happen. And Christians need to wake up to this and just bail out now of Republican politics. We shouldn't have any part with it. It's a waste of time.
I think that if your father was president, that makes you qualified to be president as well.
Yeah, I think his brother should be able to go into the dynasty chain as well. And I think, you know, if looking from our history, cousins also apply. I mean, Franklin D. Roosevelt was a cousin, I believe, of Theodore Roosevelt.
Yes, he was.
And so, you know, after we get Bush the second or third, we should be able to go find another Bush, or maybe they'll have a different name because they're cousins. Maybe it was Prescott or Walker or something else.
I'd rather just be Bush.
Yeah. Maybe he can change his name, even if he is a Walker, just so we can keep the dynasty pure sounding. You know, we can easily identify, even a public school grad could probably identify, yeah, they're all in the same chain, same dynasty.
I'd like us to keep the first and last name the same. So just change those middle initials.
I mean, you could have stuff like the third and the fourth and stuff like that. Yeah, that or...
Well, we had George H.W., now George W. Maybe the next week we have George H.
Yes, George H. Okay, well, you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben and
Rippin' Richie.
There you go for the day, co-hosting with me. We're going to go to a break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
The only difference between a taxman and a taxidermist is that the taxidermist leaves the skin. Mark Twain.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben with Integrity Group. Why is it so difficult for Christians to be good stewards of their finances? We know that God works miracles in people's lives, but He has not chosen to provide manna from above to help us meet our needs as He did with the ancient Israelites. As Christians, we should be leading the way as good stewards. Since we do not spend money on vices like non-Christians do, we should be able to save more. We want to work hard and save our money so that we can have something to give to missions and to the needy. In addition, we want to regularly set aside a portion for retirement. Christians should not have to rely on taxpayer-funded government programs for retirement. No Christian wants to become a burden to their family or church during the ever-lengthening period of old age. At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. We are an independent financial planning firm. We specialize in finding creative custom solutions to meet your savings needs. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Democracy must be something more than two wolves and a sheep voting on what to have for dinner. James Bovard.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview. I was just being chided by my 14-year-old producer telling me that I said it was the 21st today and it's really May 20th. I think that's true. I think my watch is wrong, and I trust my watch.
20th.
Let's see if Richie thinks it's the 20th, it really is. Well, the weather in the upstate of South Carolina is currently in the low 60s under some thunderstorms. You're going to experience thunderstorms and rain all day as you make your way to work. Beware of that. We're going to have high of somewhere around 75 degrees today in the upstate, so should be a pretty gloomy day and a gloomy night, and tomorrow should be raining as well. So we're going to have just a rain-filled day and tomorrow. Not a beautiful day, but always a great day because you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben and Rippin' Richie Williams. Gary North, I'll just throw this little quote out here before I turn it back to Richie. Gary North, who is a very famous theonomist who we admire, I don't necessarily agree with her. I don't agree with all that he thinks or says, but I'll tell you what.
I think he was wrong about that Y2K thing.
I heard that, yeah. I think he probably was, too. There's some empirical evidence to demonstrate that. But at any rate, like a lot of what Gary North has to say, and there's a quote that my research staff sent up to me, paying a lot of attention to political speeches, let alone political parades, is a mistake most of the time. This is especially true of the second inaugural address. Only the only famous one is Lincoln's, and he was dead a month later. His famous phrase, "with malice toward none, with charity toward all," was repudiated for the next decade by Congress during what became known as Reconstruction.
Mm. You know, last night we started watching this tape we got called The Great Civil War Debate.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen that?
No, I haven't.
It's they've got two guys debating who was right in the Civil War, the North or the South. And it was, who's the guy with the Christian history book? Peter Marshall, taking the side of the North. And I think the guy who wrote Call of Duty, the biography of Robert E. Lee, I think his name was Steve Wilkins, something like that. They're debating it on a videotape. Hmm. I'll let you borrow it if you like. So
I don't have a video player.
You don't have a VCR?
No.
Yeah, I wish they had it in DVD. I would have got it DVD. But
if you could convert it over, I'd like to see it. I'm a buff. I love to see that sort of thing.
Pretty interesting so far. We started watching it last night, but I had to get to bed because I had to get up early.
Well, Reconstruction was a horrible time. It was a time of complete disaster in the South, and the North repudiating freedom and the last vestiges of it as it tried to survive in the South. We also had a loss of freedom on the 11th of May. In fact, Libertarian News just sent to my email box again. I don't know why they're sending it to me 10 days late, but just because they said it, I'll go ahead and repeat it here. On May 11th, 2005, President Bush signed the Emergency Supplemental Appropriations Act for Defense, the Global War on Terror, and Tsunami Relief of 2005 into law. This bill included the Real ID Act. We've now joined countries like the former Soviet Union and Communist China as having a national ID forced upon us. God help us all. The end of America, May 10th, 2005. America became a true police state on May 10th, 2005. Your U.S. senators voted unanimously with no discussion without even reading the bill to create a national ID card. Well, what do we think about that? I'll tell you what I think. I don't like it.
You know, it's strange that they think that we need a national ID card to stop terrorism.
Mm.
Meanwhile, you can walk across the border from Mexico. What's wrong with this picture?
Well, it's a little bit of inconsistency. That's what I would think.
Yeah, I mean, if they were serious about stopping terrorism, they'd do something about securing the borders.
It's not about terrorism. It's about control, controlling your lives, denying your rights. It's always been that way, about whether it's the Patriot Act or the RICO Act or anything else. These things have plausibly good motivations on the surface, but in reality, all they end up doing is forfeiting to government, surrendering to government more of our rights and liberties.
Yeah, I don't know where they find justification for that in the Constitution, but I haven't seen it.
Yeah, and now as far as the immigration problem goes, I have a slightly different view than others on how to resolve these sorts of things. I like immigrants, and I think many people like immigrants. I think immigrants are a helpful thing. But I don't trust government to resolve this problem. If government created the problem, why would I assume that it could all of a sudden fix the problem? I think that's a fallacy that people have in their thinking. Instead, I would prefer to see borders completely privatized, and people who own property on the borders being able to protect their property with Minutemen or anything else from people that would come over there and trash it. And specifically, so many people cross the border and leave trash and just really wreak havoc on people who own property down there. And this is wrong, and they have a right to defend their property. So the free market, and I've written an article on this on the policyofliberty.net website, I think the free market's a far better tool to use to so-called police the borders than others. I'd much rather see high-quality immigrants come on in. So at any rate...
Yeah, absolutely.
We like immigrants. Immigrants get all their... Somebody else spends all the money to raise these people and get them to the point where they can dig a ditch or whatever else they do, pick a rose or pick some fruit. And they cross the border and are able to do that for us. And to some extent, as long as the market handles it, it doesn't really bother me. It does bother me if they start crowding into welfare state institutions or institutions that have been affected by it, like the emergency room, and abuse this. This is a travesty and terrible. It's not a problem ultimately of immigration. It's a problem of socialism when it comes to that stuff. These immigrants wouldn't come and stay and use the welfare state benefits if there weren't any. You know, when I lived in Chile,
right.
When they went to their free market reforms, they abolished welfare. If you don't work, you don't have a job, you die. If you get sick and you don't have medical insurance, you die. Is that wrong? Is that a crime? Does like government actually owe these people something, or the other people in society owe these people that don't want to get insurance or get a job their right to life to force them to live and so forth?
Well, I mean, if they did do that stuff, where would they get those funds from?
Well, I guess from their bank accounts. They could write a check.
Well, I mean, where does the government get the money from?
They print it.
Yeah, but still, the money has to come from other people.
They steal it from one way or another.
Well, exactly. And so you can't say that you're helping establish a right by violating someone else's rights.
Yeah, well, you can if you're a liberal or if you're a socialist or a New World Orderist. It makes sense to them. It doesn't make sense to us, but perfectly logical as far as they're concerned. Well, we have what do we have here? I'm going to save this till after 50. We have a long email from Paul, and it's an interesting email on swearing an oath on government forms. So I'm going to read it. It has a lot of Bible verses in it and stuff like that. And on Christian Worldview, we like that sort of stuff. So we're going to see if we can read it. But for now, we've got a couple other stories, don't you? Didn't you have a couple others that you wanted to talk about?
Yeah, I'm going to ask the question, what could be worse than flushing a Quran down the toilet? The allegedly holy Quran. What could be worse than flushing them? Well, how about blowing up Christian churches? Would that be worse?
I would think so. If I had to choose between the two, like if somebody said you're going to flush a Quran today or blow up a Christian church, I'd go for flushing.
You think the flushing would... I understand. Well, this article by Mary Mostert, which I got from AmericanDaily.com, I believe it was, says, according to Newsweek, as you know, the Newsweek article, you hear about that? American military interrogators had, quote, in at least one case, flushed a holy book down the toilet. As I said, it's the allegedly holy Quran. And the article supposedly so enraged Muslims that anti-American riots resulted in several countries. They were so offended that they had to go out and do what they always do, freak out, run around like rabid dogs and kill people.
And burn flags and these kinds of things.
Oh, they burned our flag?
Ooh.
I'm offended. I'm going to go riot and kill people. First of all, a Quran has about 800 pages. Now, we want to give you the information. We don't want you to be a Quran moron, so we're going to let you know about the Quran here. The Quran has about 800 pages. How could you flush an 800-page book down a toilet? That's one question we could ask.
One page at a time, apparently.
Maybe so. Yeah. Now, assuming you could actually flush a Quran down a toilet, why is it that somehow worse than burning down or blowing up Christian churches, as Muslims have done in Kosovo? There were 30 churches and monasteries destroyed.
I didn't know that.
19 people killed, and 250 non-Muslim homes looted and burned in Muslim riots in Kosovo. from March 17th to 19th, 2004. So that's 2000, just last year.
Wow.
And now remember when these churches were burned, that remember all the Christians went out in the streets and were rioting and burning
Qurans
and killing people and shouting and hollering and...
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember that either.
Yeah, okay. Maybe they didn't. I just missed it.
You know, I would think that having followers of a certain religion act like rabid dogs would be more detrimental to that religion than someone else flushing the allegedly holy book of that religion down the toilet.
Yeah.
I would think that the, you know, like I said, the followers of Islam acting as they do would be, you know, make the Muslims look worse than somebody flushing a Quran down the toilet, which apparently didn't even happen.
I would think they're more interested in the sacrilegious act about us, aren't they? Because, I mean, in a print run of 50,000 Qurans, for instance, you're always going to have one or two you have to throw away or they're no good.
Oh, goodness, you know, gracious.
I mean, what do? They get all freaked out about, you know, that kind of stuff, too. It's like the Catholics with the, you know, they have this pagan ritual called the Mass, and if they have to be careful not to spill any of the wine or the blood of Christ because it won't be utilized then. And they have that little plate, and they make sure that no crumb falls to the floor so a mouse won't eat the crumb from the body of Christ.
Don't they want the mice to be saved?
Well, apparently mice can't be saved if you're a Catholic. I don't know. But
what happened then?
Or maybe the worst thing is maybe a mouse would get saved. Maybe they're all unsaved, and they don't want any rats in heaven because, you know, you just get a pair.
And then you're up in heaven, and you're like, this is heaven. It's supposed to be perfect. Look at that rat running across the floor over there.
That's
what's the
right
deal?
And it starts spreading like wildfire, and pretty soon all of heaven will be infested. The Catholic Church is doing well by putting a little dish under you so they don't eat the body of Christ.
Well, that makes sense now. Anyway, you know, I mean, what is a religion good for? I mean, it's about this superstitious type of activity of being worried that if some Muslims flush the Bible down the toilet, I'm not going to care. It's a stupid thing to do, but are we going to go out and act like rabid dogs like these people did?
I wouldn't. I mean, it's just a bunch of... I mean, I remember a charismatic once asking when I was at a charismatic Bible college, and they were saying, well, you know, if your house caught on fire, and this is a class, by the way, your house had caught on fire, and you could only grab one thing, and trying to leave, you didn't have time to get anything else, what would you grab?
Laptop.
You know, that's a good answer. You grab your laptop. Why? Well, because it's probably worth a little bit of money. A Bible...
I mean, assuming the kids and wife are already out, of course.
Yeah, well, we can assume that. You know, they've got legs. They can move out. They can each grab one thing. Everybody's grabbing one thing. Well, the guy said, well, your heart's not in the right place if you didn't say the Bible, because that's the first thing you should grab. The Word of God should be the most important thing to you. Well, the fact of the matter is,
you can
folks,
buy another one for $5.
That's right. Or even if I want to spend $50 and splurge, I'd rather do that. And go ahead and get a new Bible and let the one that's in the house burn and take the laptop or something of value. But anyway, it's sort of this phony ideaism or whatever you want to call it. Is it time for a break yet? He's nodding, saying
it is. Oh, we're breaking.
All right, you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben and Rippin' Richie William. So we'll be back in just a minute.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media. Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Just because you do not take an interest in politics doesn't mean politics won't take an interest in you. Pericles.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking, and we'll soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. And thank you for flying TRN Airways.
The worst crime against working people is a company which fails to operate at a profit. Samuel Gompers.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net, that's www.policyofliberty.net on the web, You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
Well, we're bringing you back to the show here. I've got an interesting email to read from Paul. I want to remind you before I do, though, of a couple things. I want Rip and Richie to tell you about our new website and why you need to visit it, and what can be found there, as well as his upcoming new show.
I'm going to have a show?
Well, last I heard.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we said something about that yesterday, didn't we? Mm. Yeah, well, the website is tyrannyresponse.com. That's tyrannyresponse.com. And you can go there for the list of events and links and friends of ours that have publications and products. Got a couple products up there. And a couple of pictures. Not many pictures yet, but we're working on that. So tyrannyresponse.com. If you're driving down the road, you hear about some kind of meeting or something like that, and you can't remember exactly where or when it was, go to tyrannyresponse.com, and you can get that information. Now, we are here at TRN thinking about doing we're pretty much planning on doing a new afternoon show. And I'll be on the show, and so will Bob, who also goes by the name Mr. Peaceful.
Bob Llewellyn.
Bob Llewellyn from he's from Pennsylvania. Is that correct?
I think so. It's gonna be two Yankees doing the show, effectively.
Is that?
Yeah.
You know, just because I was stuck up north for 7 years
does not
mean I'm a Yankee.
He's really not a Yankee.
And when I was...
He talks like one, but he's not really a Yankee.
When I was doing radio in Binghamton, New York, I did a segment on Stinkin' Lincoln.
Ooh.
So I've kept the faith, no matter what my physical location was.
Okay.
But anyway, we're thinking about calling the show Rippin' Richie versus Mr. Peaceful. How about that be an interesting name for a talk radio show?
Now, it's going to come on during drive time, 4:30 or until 5:30 or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, somewhere around 4:30 or 5. So we'll see how long that lasts. Hopefully more than a few days.
Well, that'll be great. Good. Well, we'll look forward to that. Nice having a second live show here on the Tyranny Response Network. And we'll be glad that it's Rip and Richie doing it along with Bob Llewellyn. I think they'll be a good team. Rip and Richie's more of a Constitution Party type, and Bob Llewellyn is definitely from the Libertarian side. I think he was an officer in the Libertarian Party in Pennsylvania. So there'll be a good bipartisan effort to promote the truth. Although Richie, you're not a big C constitutionalist. I mean, you vote for libertarians too. You're sort of in the middle on some things, aren't you?
I don't know what I believe. Whatever seems.
It's always
good to
get a talk show host that doesn't know what he believes.
I'll figure it out as I get into it.
Maybe you listeners can help him know what he believes.
I'm open to suggestions.
Mm. Well, he's a tabla rasa. He's just he's a blank.
No, I voted for Howard Phillips in 2000, and I voted for Bednarik in 2004.
Those are two good choices. You know, wouldn't you love to see either one of those guys as president?
I think it'd be an improvement.
Yeah, just a little bit. Well, Paul writes in, he says, John, I thought you might be interested in Al's thoughts on oaths and such. I don't know what you, this is Al Thompson, Al Thompson's comment. Al certainly isn't perfect, but I think he has a point about swearing to them. Also, if you're still planning, he's talking about something entirely different here, but let's read what he has to say here. Posted by Al Thompson in his comment, January 2003, many of us have never understood the implications of swearing an oath. Most of us, at one time or another, have sworn oaths, and most of us don't really understand the implications of such action. In many instances, government forms and ones from other entities shove papers in front of us to be attested by a sworn statement. I had recently read an article that essentially stated that all of us enter the jurisdiction of the government entity when we swear an oath. I was a bit startled and taken by surprise by the ideas of someone inadvertently stepping into their jurisdiction by taking of an oath. I went through some of the Old Testament and compared it to the New Testament, and I observed the following, Leviticus 19:12, "And you shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shall thou profane the name of the Lord thy God. I am the Lord." It appears here that if one were to swear falsely, that it would be a major offense against God. Do you really know for sure, if your IRS form was filled out correctly, I know that those who file don't have a clue whether the form is accurate, yet they readily sign the return because they think it's their duty to do so. And I'm going to interject here, and you can jump anytime you need to, because this is a little bit of a long email, but whenever I sign any of those kinds of things, and I would suggest you the same thing, you have a right in America as an American citizen to change anything you want in a contract. So cross out the words. If it says under penalty of perjury, just get your ruler and a black ink and just cross it out.
Well, that's a good idea.
I mean, why? Why not? And the Uniform Commercial Code 1-207, if you look up UCC 1-207, you'll find that the words without prejudice can be written after your name to basically void anything you sign. If you write without prejudice on the form, and maybe you don't even write your name, just write the words in cursive writing without prejudice, what that means is you've signed under protest. You don't agree, you're being coerced into under some sort of duress to sign this thing. So there's one way you can get around it, you would think. Never, you heard it first on Christian Worldview. Don't sign these oaths anymore. Just cross them off. See what happens.
What will happen?
Yeah. Well, I've heard some people, most of the time nothing happens. Except the IRS and nobody has a document anymore they can use against you. But other than that, I've heard that sometimes the IRS will send it back and ask you to re-sign it.
And so you do the same thing again?
Yeah. Or you do it in a little different way. You know, some people get real creative. They get those forms that are printable, look exactly like it, except they modify the text because no bureaucrat's going to.
Right,
you know,
right.
You can actually print out your own forms, so instead they just rewrite all the text on there. You know, I swear under penalty of perjury the IRS is a blasphemous and insidious organization that needs to find its lowest place in hell, and the sooner the better, and my name is blah, blah, and that's it.
And you make that look like the...
Yeah,
you know,
same
we
font
make,
and everything.
We should make that available on the website.
That would be interesting.
As a PDF.
We would be accused of conspiracy, if we did that.
So you can print it out. Yeah. We're not saying anyone should use it. We're just saying it's just going to be up there as an example of what you should not do.
Yeah. Well, I'll let you put it on your website, Richie. But I like the idea. Or maybe you can just make available. Click here if you want to email us if you'd like to have some specific form, and we'll Richie will send it to you. But that'd be fun to make, wouldn't it?
I think it would be.
Yeah. That sounds like a good idea to me. No, they won't like it. IRS won't like it. But
no,
hey,
not.
I'm not in business to please the IRS or any of these other government scumbags. Excuse me. That's a strong word. I don't know what else to call them.
Check.
Okay, numbers. Getting back to what this fellow said, if a man vow unto the Lord or swear an oath to bind his soul to the bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. How many of us have understood that swearing an oath on an IRS form would bind our souls to a bond? Now we are obligated by this bond to perform accordingly. The person must function according to the bond, regardless of whether a mistake has been made. Of course, I understand that we've been deceived. However, the problem is still there. This puts an undue burden upon the man or woman. I don't like the idea of binding my soul, swearing an oath to anyone or anything. Therefore, I will not do it any longer. Ooh, he's telling you what he's thinking. Al Thompson's not gonna swear on the IRS form anymore. Matthew 5:33-37 says, "Again, you've heard it said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths." The Messiah knew the implications and dangers of swearing oaths and the obligations they set upon mankind. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven or earth, for it is God's throne. Here's the remedy. Just don't do it. Swear not at all. Why can't the Christian community get this? Pastors in most churches stand by and watch their people file income tax returns when they know they should, at the act of giving an oath against the message of the Messiah. Well, that's very interesting.
I just heard on a Christian radio show the other day how they were saying that, you know, as Christians, we should pay our taxes.
Well, first of all, we have to say that maybe they're not really our taxes to pay these things. But second of all, biblically, does this hold any weight? I mean, is there any caller who can tell us, who has a degree in theology, that really knows something that about theology, that is, that could comment on swearing? Are you violating the command of Christ by making an oath to the IRS?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we'd have to look at the biblical definition, look it up in the Hebrew, and see what it really meant, if it really meant the same thing then that it does now.
Well, New Testament's written in Greek, so we have to look in Greek, too.
Well, yeah, Greek also.
We could look in Hebrew translation.
He was using more Old Testament.
He's just reading Matthew 5:33-37. That's just didn't you pay attention to the last ones?
Well, we'd check out both of them, Hebrew and Greek.
Well, if I can't get Richie to pay attention when I'm reading, I wonder how many other people are paying attention out there.
Well, and the thing is, I would think that the basis for much of what Christ said was based on the prior knowledge of the Old Testament. That's why the starting place should be the
right.
The Hebrew definitions, I would think.
He also quotes James 5:12 on here, but then and that says, "But above all things, my brethren, swear not either by heaven nor by earth nor by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your nay be nay, lest you fall into condemnation." Let's look for a moment, he says, at the statement on the IRS 1040 in the sign here section.
Yeah, what does it say there?
Under penalties of perjury, I declare that I have examined this return and accompanying schedules and statements, and to the best of my knowledge and belief, they are true, correct, and complete. Declaration of preparer other than taxpayer is based on all information of which the preparer has any knowledge. Number one, he says, under penalties of perjury, this becomes a sworn document when it is signed. If a person makes one mistake on this form, he can be criminally prosecuted and would have to prove that he didn't lie. Number two, I declare that I have examined this return. Did you, really? When you filed the return, did you really know what you were doing? Did you know all the ins and outs of over 9,000 pages of tax code? Do you really know if you are subject to the tax code? Do you know if you are a U.S. citizen? Do you really understand the territorial jurisdiction of the U.S. code? Do you really have gross income? On and on and on it goes. And the next statement, they are true, correct, and complete. How would you know? The fact that there are very, very few, if any, people who could lawfully swear to that statement. If you swear that the return is true when you aren't sure that you owe the tax, you become a liar, and you are going to swear that the returns are correct. How would you know that? What if you're wrong? How are you going to prove that you aren't a liar? Are they complete, the so-called tax professional, or is he competent and so forth? Well, he continues on, but the solution, the remedy to this is just don't sign the thing. Don't you think? If you're going to fill out the thing in the first place, which I'm not saying you should do, why would you want to sign it? Just write Mickey Mouse on it or something. I don't know.
So I was thinking Mickey Mouse,
Donald Duck, Goofy, Daffy. Is it Daffy Duck? Daffy.
There's a Daffy and a Donald.
Oh man, but one of them's like Warner Brothers, the other one's like Disney, right?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, it's coming back to me now from when I watched television years ago.
Daffy is Warner Brothers.
Interesting email this morning. Appreciate you sending that in, Paul, making us think a little bit better here. Christians probably don't need to be swearing oaths on IRS forms, whether they alter the form or sign it with a funny name or without prejudice or in some way, maybe just not even send the thing in at all. It might be a good idea so they can avoid being in sin by doing so. Any comments or questions about this, be sure to give us a call here at the show. The backup line today is our correct number, 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, and we'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to TRN.
Public schools will never excel because they lack intellectual capital and have to compensate for too many social problems. Daniel Golden.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Life, liberty, and property do not exist because men have made laws. On the contrary, it was the fact that life, liberty, and property existed beforehand that caused men to make laws in the first place. Frederick Bastiat.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Well,
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Welcome back to Christian Worldview. Currently in the low 60s outside with lots of thunderstorms and going to continue that way all day. Might get into the mid 70s in the upstate of South Carolina, but otherwise be a real dreary day. So as you make your way out to work, be prepared for thunder and lightning bolts. And, hopefully in God's providence, they'll all miss you. But nevertheless, it's going to be a nasty day. Well, Richie, go ahead and take it. What have we got? A couple more stories?
Well, first of all, I want to mention the website, tyrannyresponse.com. That's tyrannyresponse.com. And by the way, the show that you're hearing now is live from 7:30 to 9 weekday mornings. So it's between 7:30 and 9 on a weekday morning. We are live right now. You can call into the show, 864-201-6955. 864-201-6955. Today is May the 20th, 2005. All right. I had an article here that ties in with something we mentioned earlier about Islam. Laura Bush, the wife of George W. Bush, who's the son of George H. W. Bush. Laura Bush is set to arrive Sunday in Jerusalem and will visit the sites of Judaism, Islam, and Christianity. And so she'll be going to the Temple Mount, the Western Wall, and the church in Jericho. And officials say the First Lady has asked to honor Israel's three religions during the visit next week.
I'm sure she will.
Now, is that appropriate to honor other religions?
You're asking me?
From a Christian point of view? Since this is Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, I want to ask Dr. John Coben, according to his Christian worldview, is it correct? I mean, I'm not saying we have to go out of the way to thrash these people like I have done this morning, but I'm saying that should we go out of our way to honor Islam as Christians?
No. And as a matter of fact, what we should do is thrash them. Because as a Christian worldview, we are called to pull down on anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, according to what Paul tells us. And that includes the unholy trinity of Satan, false religion, and the state.
Yeah, and I agree. And what does the Bible say about calling good evil and calling evil good?
Just not a good thing to do.
Yeah, and I think that Islam has proven, for the most part, to be an evil religion. And I can't imagine Martha Washington saying nice things about Islam. And I don't think that our First Lady should. Like I said, I'm not saying that she has to go out of her way to say bad things about Islam, but to go out of her way to say good things about Islam.
She's crossed the line.
I don't think it's correct with Christianity. And of course we talk about tolerance, and of course every time something happens here in America, then you have this group of Muslims, the Council on American Islamic Relations. They're always whining about one thing or another. One thing they whined about was I believe it was Pat Robertson said that we shouldn't have Islamic judges in America because their faith is not consistent with our Constitution. And, of course, this Islamic group whined about that. And I think we could reach a compromise and say, look, we'll have just as many Muslim judges as Saudi Arabia has Christian judges. And then I think that's fair.
Per capita, you mean?
Yeah. I think that'd be fair.
That'd be interesting to see if
which, of course, would be zero.
Yeah.
So anyway, I don't think that, you know, I wasn't real happy with Bush saying nice things. I remember in his State of the Union speech one time, he talked about Islam's history of tolerance. That's a history I'm not aware of.
Bush might read a different history book. I have a feeling that he has. He seems to be a little bit ignorant on certain issues.
Yeah, and I don't think that we should just come out and and say things like that.
Okay, well, that's interesting that Laura Bush is doing that. That's the First Lady of the United States of America, folks, in case you have a comment or question about it and want to kind of run to the support of Laura Bush and tell us why we shouldn't be so harsh with her this morning. Please do call us, 864-201-6955. What else we got?
Let's see, we talked about the flesh in the Quran. You know, I thought about, actually, when this happened, I thought about getting the URL flesh... theQuran.com
mm-hmm.
and putting up a live webcam and pay my kids a certain amount to stand in front of the live webcam, tearing pages out of the Quran and putting it flushing down the toilet.
That's a great idea.
I'm not sure I'd make money out of it, but you know, somebody has already reserved that name.
Have they really?
Somebody reserved.
FleshTheQuran.com.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do with it.
What if you do FleshTheQuran.net?
That's a possibility. But I'm sure that you could get up to 1 million hits within just a few days after it's gets in the press somewhere. That would be a big deal.
That would be pretty funny, flushing the Quran.
I have to make sure I've got plenty of ammo for my shotgun before I do something like that.
We need to do a little spot on one of your little funny spots somehow about, you know, just the sound effects of a toilet flushing and the pages getting ripped and somebody reading a few verses out of it. No, I don't like that. And just tossing it down the toilet.
There's a lot that you would not like in the Quran. A lot of bad stuff.
Well, it's because it's false. It's an evil religion. And so, yeah, of course there would be.
Yep, and you know, and of course they say, and we don't believe that all Muslims are terrorists. I mean, that's certainly not the case. I mean, just like not all Christians love their neighbor, not all Muslims kill their neighbor.
Fair enough. Yeah.
All right, so let's see. Now, I've got one more story here if you want to look at this. Now, you know, the lady whose husband and mother were killed, the judge, the lady who was a judge in Chicago, that happened the day after we left the Chicago area. This lady who was, what's her name? Judge Joan Humphrey Leftcow. Of course, her husband and mother were killed by some nutcase who did that and then committed suicide. And she went and spoke to Congress and urged him to help bring an end to, quote, truly dangerous, unquote, verbal attacks on judges that might lead to violent action. So she's saying we have to be careful what we say about judges because it could make people mad. And this is scary stuff here. She said one way lawmakers could protect judges would be to condemn judge-bashing remarks by commentators and colleagues. She said, quote, fostering disrespect for judges can only encourage those that are on the edge or on the fringe to exact revenge, she said to the Senate Judiciary Committee. Now, what is this? This is scary to me that they would talk like this. I mean, where are they going to draw the line? I understand that you don't want somebody putting up a website that says, you know, $1 million reward for the head of this judge, but, you know, they're talking about things that aren't nothing like that. I mean, where are they going to draw the line at? I mean, if you're critical of a judge's decision, would they then want to come get you or what?
Anytime you put yourself into the state power scheme, you expose yourself to potential threats and potential violence against you. I mean, can you imagine what would have happened? What would the founders have put up a website against King George III and said $1 million paid to anyone who can hit this guy? Do you think they would have done that?
I don't think they would have done that, but they definitely would have said some very derogatory things on their website.
What about Cornwallis? Would they put up $1 million to hit him?
Were they trying to take him out?
Yeah, I think so.
They should have been.
Yeah, I mean, it's a war. I mean, yeah. they were trying to kill. They were the enemy.
That was a time of war, but as far as judges of your own. In your own nation, I'm sure the founding fathers would. I mean, I think Thomas Jefferson warned us about the power of the judiciary, and I'm sure that he would say some very negative things about current judges and current decisions.
Should be a revolution every 20 years. I'm not sure Thomas Jefferson would have a problem with people threatening judges who violate the Constitution. I don't think so.
Well, I think at this point we could take the easier route and just have them impeached, but that would involve having having responsible legislators.
Well, I don't know if it's easier. Probably a lot easier to shoot him than to impeach him. But it'd be a lot cleaner, a lot more civil. I mean, there's no question about it. I just wonder if, I mean, the whole point of having an ultimate check against the state with the Second Amendment is to be able to threaten these guys. Just like I read yesterday with Clint Eastwood threatening the sheriff in The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Or was it Fistful? I think it was Fistful of Dollars that the research staff sent up. The sheriff said, I'm the sheriff. You know, he started threatening Clint Eastwood, and Clint Eastwood took out his gun and pointed it at him and said, you know, who are you? And that's ultimately Americans. We are, these people are civil servants, and although we're supposed to have honor and respect for people who are in an authority, in, at least in an expedient a sense, ultimately in this country, we hold the ultimate check against the state because we have an ultimate threat against them. And we're supposed to be constantly threatening the state, in a sense. The Constitution, I may be wrong about that, but that's the way I understand it.
Well, I think we're set up the way we're set up now. We could have a revolution every 2 years if we wanted to, but that would involve actually voting for someone that would make a difference and not Republicans or Democrats.
Yeah, that would be a good start.
Except
for
Ron Paul, who's a Republican.
Yeah, well, he's really a libertarian. He just disguised.
Whatever it takes.
Yeah, he's gone through the backdoor method of getting there. Well, we're being signaled for another break here. Interesting story. If you have a comment or question for the show, please dial in at 864-201-6955. We'll be back in just a minute.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Giving money and power to government is like giving whiskey and car keys to teenage boys. P.J. O'Rourke.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
I would rather be exposed to the inconveniences attending too much liberty than to those attending too small a degree of it. Thomas Jefferson.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Welcome back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. I'm Rippin' Richie, guest hosting today. It's Friday, May 20th. We've got an article we're going to read in just a minute. But first, we want to mention this. This weekend, Armenians commemorated.
Armenians. We're not talking about Calvinists and Armenians. We're talking about Armenians.
That's there's a difference?
Yeah, Armenians are an ethnic group. That's right around the area near Turkey. And Armenians are people that followed Jacobus Arminius in the remonstrance against the Calvinists.
What if they're the same? What if they're Armenian Armenians?
I don't know if there are any such things.
Okay.
They could be, though.
These people are commemorated the 90th anniversary of the genocide of 1915, but Turkey has yet to recognize the crime, the first genocide of the 20th century. By refusing to use the word genocide, Turkey could complicate its efforts to join the European Union. So what happened with that? I don't know, because I'm a victim of public schools.
Well, they just slaughtered a bunch of innocent people. The Turkish state just went and just annihilated this.
No, no. Dr. John Cohen, that can't be the case, because the state, they're God's minister.
Yeah, they're God's ordained
minister,
by God. Right?
Ordained by God,
yeah,
for our good. They're not going to go kill, but they're there for your good.
They reward those who do good.
I don't know what kind of right-wing propaganda, the revisionist history that comes from, but surely the state, the government that's there as God's minister to do good and to provide us with Social Security and health care, would not do such a thing.
What would I do on my show if I didn't have somebody here being facetious and playing with my head like this? Well, I'll tell you what, Chuck Baldwin writes in. He has an interesting comment. Chuck Baldwin, we usually like reading on the show. He has a lot of interesting things to say in general, but he's talking about something similar. He says in his weekly little column here, he says, neocons are pro-war. Neocons, by the way, are liberals that wear conservative clothing, like Ronald Reagan and Franklin Roosevelt. Real confused people, Irving Kristol being the leader. Neocons are pro-war because they don't have to see it up close and personal. People who know me know that I'm anything but a pacifist, says Chuck Baldwin, who is a pastor and a former vice presidential candidate for the Constitution Party. I wholeheartedly support the right and duty of America to defend itself. I further support the right and duty of individuals to defend themselves, which is why I'm such a strong proponent of the Second Amendment. Accordingly, I fully supported Ronald Reagan's peace through strength initiative. Without a doubt, it was Reagan's resolve in this matter which ultimately led to the collapse of the Soviet Union and solidified America's military superiority. Obviously, I'm not anti-war, anything but. With that said, however, neither do I believe America was in the right to unilaterally attack other nations without having been attacked or seriously threatened, which includes the ability and intention to follow through with the threat with attack. In other words, not being anti-war does not make me pro-war. A better moniker might be pro-defense. For example, I believe I have the right to shoot my neighbor because... I don't believe I have the right to shoot my neighbor because he called me names, or because he verbally threatened me, or probably even because he tore up the Koran and flushed it. I don't know. If, however, he decided to follow up... It wouldn't bother me if somebody tore up the Koran and flushed it. I wouldn't be offended. He decided to follow up his threats by invading my home with the intention of doing bodily harm to me or my family. I believe I have every right and even the duty to shoot him right between the eyes. He has a duty to shoot. This is a pastor telling you this, folks, so you know it's okay.
Amen.
But the right of self-defense would not justify me if I then decided to hunt down his family and friends and also shoot them. The reason? They pose no imminent threat to me or my family. Therefore, believing in the right to self-defense does not mean that I am pro-killing. The same token, I'm neither pro-war when I say I believe America has a right to defend itself. When it comes to war, Douglas MacArthur summarizes my feelings when he said, "War is a scourge." Indeed it is. The problem today is that neocons who run Washington, D.C. are not pro-defense. They are pro-war. And there is a huge difference. I'll stop the reading there because wow. I noticed that, you might have a quick comment about that. Then why don't you go ahead and make a comment and take us to the caller.
My comment is, we have a call.
Okay. And well, we want to welcome you to Christian Worldview. Who are we speaking with this morning?
Nelson here, folks. The stream of consciousness that you're right on, and another subject waiting on further down it. Richie, it's very simple about the Armenians. The rulers did slaughter them because they were God's ministers. And it's very simple if you look at it this way. It was God's will for all those people to die!
Oh goodness,
Nelson, are you okay this morning, pal? Okay, did he hang up? Where are you, Nelson? Are you still with us?
That was wow.
I guess Nelson's left us.
That was different.
Yeah, that was. We usually don't have prank calls here on the show, but yes, of course, it was God's will for all these people to die. No one dies before God ordains it, and that's a good point. That if that's the point, however, doesn't of course justify murdering. Hello? Murdering folks. Are you back? Nelson, are you there? We're trying to hear you, Nelson. We don't know if you're there or not. There's no more Nelson? I thought I heard him again. Did you hear him too?
I thought I heard something there. That's strange.
Maybe it's something with our producer. Maybe somehow we have an automatic response unit set up on our switch on our board that filtered out.
We need to screen those calls a little bit better.
Yeah, maybe so.
The troublemaker's calling up.
Okay. Well, anyway. Well, good. We had a call about the Armenian genocide. I've been rather quiet phone lines today. Thanks for the call, Nelson. Always appreciate it when you call in. And yesterday we had a good talk about the divine ordination of evil states. And Nelson made a great point about God's permissive will, allowing being allowed to, you know, being there to allow dictators and cruel people like Hitler and Stalin and Lincoln and other folks like that. I love mentioning Lincoln in the same breath as Pol Pot and Stalin, by the way.
Oh, boy.
And, you know, these people rise because God permits it. Doesn't mean God ordains the evil that they do in the sense that he condones it. He knows they're going to do evil, and in a sense he uses evil that they promote. But
is it like, kind of like God allows some people to get cancer?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly. God does allow evil things to happen in the world, and he uses it for the good of Christians in one way or another, their sanctification, or for the blessings, or it could be just to judge terrestrially, you know, sinful people also.
Could be just to provide good topics for talk radio.
Also, we know that's the case, so... Anyway, Nelson makes a good call that it was God's will for the Armenians to die. That's always the case. Nobody dies outside of God's will. Some people don't believe that. Some Christians believe that God actually... can you really be a Christian and believe this? That God doesn't really want you to go to hell, but you go to hell at any rate. God really doesn't want you to die, but you die at any rate. God doesn't want you to be poor, but you're poor at any rate.
You get into Calvinism here? Predestination?
Well, I don't know if I'm getting into Calvinism. It's just the whole philosophy of what God is. I mean, if God wants something, won't it happen? Or do you have?
Do you believe in predestination?
Yes.
Okay. See, I believe in free will.
What's free will?
I believe you have free will.
Where does the Bible teach that?
Doesn't matter, because since I believe in free will, according to you, I was predestined to believe in free will. I'm not just doing God's will by believing in free will.
That's a good point. So, yeah, some people could be predestined to believe what is...
In free will.
Or any other error, for that matter. Yeah, Bible...
I'm just doing God's will, John.
To be free will.
To believe in free will is what I'm predestined to believe in.
Okay, now this is a theological nuance we haven't covered before, and it's appreciated. Anybody have any comments about free will, we'd love to hear from you in the last 5 minutes of the show. Again, our number, 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955.
Does that mean I'm either Armenian or Armenian?
Well, you could be Armenian, as you said, but I don't think there are too many of them exist. I think it's just not that common. Well, we have time for just maybe one announcement. You know, the Times Examiner, too. Before the show ends, and maybe, I don't know, Rich, you have something else we can bring it up to, but just real quickly, the Times Examiner, 864-268-0576, if you missed the number, just go to our website, tyrannyresponse.com, even though it says pop and lock or something like that on the URL line,
just ignore that.
It's really the tyrannyresponsenetwork.com, tyrannyresponse.com. Times Examiner needs your support. They need you to subscribe, and they have a good subscription base, but they need to increase it so that they can stay in business. $25 in-state, $27 out-of-state. Call that number, 864-268-0576, or better yet, if you have a business, consider taking out an ad there and support the Times Examiner. Also want to let you know about the First Freedom. It's another politically incorrect, uncensored monthly newspaper that sometimes publishes the Tyranny Response Unit's writing. Nelson offers any of our listeners a free postpaid sample copy of it. Call Nelson at 864-642-4315 if interested. You can also sample this fine paper's material at www.gulftel.com/First Freedom. It picks up where the liberal media leave off, and you can find out information about the First Freedom as well on the website, tyrannyresponse.com.
Yes, tyrannyresponse.com.
It's a great website. Richie's greatest contribution to date has not only been co-hosting the show with me for, I think this is the sixth day now, and he'll be back next Friday, too. We're going to do this every Friday, aren't we? As long as you're able to.
Well, I guess I could. I can't make a long-term commitment right now.
Wow, you're not a true man. You're one of these kinds of men.
Actually, the thing is, when I make a commitment, I'm definitely going to do it. Other people make commitments, but then they just break them. I'm real careful before I make them.
Okay, all right. So maybe we'll see Richie here next Friday. If we don't, it'll be all right. But he wasn't able to make a long-term commitment. But you might be here next Friday.
It's possible if I don't stay up too late drinking on next Thursday.
Okay, all right. Well, we'll bear that in mind. This is Christian worldview. So if you stay up and you get too drunk or something, then don't show up the next morning. We wouldn't want that on the Christian. Now Richie doesn't get drunk.
Never been drunk in my life, actually.
Is that right? Well, good for you. That's a wonderful thing.
Even in my wild teenage years, even when I had long hair, I still didn't get drunk. amazing.
I thought all people with long hair got drunk.
No, not me.
Oh, that's good.
And not Jesus.
Did Jesus really have long hair?
Of course he did. Haven't you seen the pictures?
Yeah. I see. I figured the way they got haircuts back then, they must have got, you know, had them lay down against one rock against another and just start smashing the hair off.
Yeah, I don't know how they did that.
Must have made their ears hurt, though. Maybe they had held their fingers in their ears while they did it.
It was worse than rock music. Actually, it was rock music.
Yeah, it was. Exactly. Real rock music.
Mm-hmm. Jesus had long hair. Either that or he listened to rock music. One or the other.
Oh, the logic. The logic is really amazing. Are we missing any good links on our website? If we're missing good links on our website, folks, we need you to let us know. Email the site administrator at tyrannyresponse.com if you think there's a link that we should include there, and we'll be happy to consider it. We'd like to have as complete as possible. We'd also like to petition you again for more funding for TRN. We have a person who's pledged to match any contributions coming in before next Thursday at 4 p.m.
Wow.
There's a limit, by the way. I won't disclose the limit amount, but someone has agreed to match whatever amount people will come up with, bring by to support the Tyranny Response Network. We would appreciate it if you do that, even if it's $5 or $10. Drop it by or mail it to the Integrity Group at 514 Pettigrew Street in Greenville. Make it payable to Dr. John Coben or to TRN or to anything you'd like, and we'll make sure that that money, on my honor, gets there to the Tyranny Response Network staff. We will greatly appreciate it, especially before next Thursday at 4. Next Thursday is what would that be, the 26th, I think, or something like that. And before the 26th at 4 p.m., if it arrives there, it'll be matched to a certain dollar amount. So if you can support the TRN, we need that support now. Also looking for new computers, used computers, anything you can drop off there, as well as people who have a place they can host. The Tyranny Response Network is looking for places to host transmitters for their signal or something like that. They've asked me to invite you to call them or email. In fact, you might want to drop an email on the contact page. There's the signal link says Brad on their line. Go ahead to the contact list on the tyrannyresponse.com website and email them. Anyway,
tyrannyresponse.com.
Yes, those are where you want to go to support the show. Well,
the show's over.
The show's over. We've come to the end. Appreciate you coming on today.
I enjoy being here. I just want to say before we close, do not flush the Quran down the toilet. It will defile your toilet.
Oh, my. And you've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Guest host today, Rip and Richie Williams. We'll see you again, or I'll see you again, on Monday morning. Till then, God bless you.
You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben on TRN. Join us again tomorrow morning right here at 97.7 FM on the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John.